Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And then, if you want to keep turning, turn to our text passage, which is in Mark 5. Today, I'd like to preach a message of faith. Tonight, I pray that God will build our faith, challenge our faith. I pray that He'll expand our faith. We read in the Bible that faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and without faith, get this, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Before and when I first entered the ministry, you know, preachers preach to themselves, do you know that? I preached on faith over and over and over and over again. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to be a good Christian. It's impossible to be a good parent. It's impossible to be a good soul winner. We need faith. Now, how do we get this faith? From the Bible. Faith does come from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, Hebrews 7:25 reads, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Notice he is able. Not I think he's able, or it's possible that he's able, but the Bible's very emphatic. He is able. Now, turn to Mark, and you might want to just keep your finger there because that's our text passage. We're going to come back throughout the message. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And they came over the other side of the sea unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Now, we're going to delve into this miracle later. But look down at verse 24. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I'll be made whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." This is the second great miracle in the same chapter. Now go to verse 38. "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, 'Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel." I want to stop here for a second. Something just popped into my head that I see throughout the Bible. Not everybody sees God's miracles. And in fact, in my life, my ministry, it's only the real faithful that saw the miracles. They're the only ones that really knew the miracles, because the others were on a fringe. The others were playing footsie with the world. The others weren't really faithful, and they didn't see the significance. They could hear about it and say, "I wonder if that's true." But there were people, the faithful, that knew it was true because they were there. And it says, they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. I want to preach a simple message on He is able. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are able. We thank you, we that have been saved for some time, that we have seen miracles. Things happen that could only be described as a miracle from you. And Lord, I pray that when we leave here, we would believe more in miracles and we'd be want to challenge our lives, want to believe and see you do great things in our lives and great things in our church. So Holy Spirit, I ask you that you'd speak through me. If anybody in this room knows that I can't do anything, it's me. But Lord, I pray you'll do something tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. The book of Mark has been called the miracle book of the Bible. Mark majors on miracles. He spotlights miracles. Mark believed in miracles and wanted everybody that read his book to believe. In Mark 5, Jesus faced with three outstanding needs that could not be taken care of by human methods. If these three lived in Pocatello, they'd be crying, impossible. One was a perfect candidate for a lunatic asylum. One was fit for the hospital for the incurables, and one was ready to be taken to the morgue. Now, I believe what James wrote, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. I believe in healing. But let me say, I don't believe in this TV stuff. Right. I don't watch it, so I don't know who's famous today. In my day, it was Oral Roberts. But I'll tell you what, they all fly in multi-million dollar airplanes, and they all haul millions of dollars in. You send me some money, and I'll send you a prayer cloth. That's not healing, okay? It's not. I could go into it more, but that's a show. That's a scam. I'm not talking about that. The only kind of healing that I see in the Bible is God's healings, not Oral Roberts' healings, but God's healings. Now, first, Jesus meets a wild man. He was a loony. He ran around naked, probably with chains that he had broken on him, and slept in the tombs with the dead. And then here's a lady who spent everything she had on doctors with no results. But one touch of Jesus' garment, just one touch, and she was healed. And here's another young lady who's dead. The parents are weeping, and Jesus walks in the room, and before their very eyes, she raised from the dead. And praise God, when Mark 5 is over, the old lunatic is sitting in his right mind, fully clothed at Jesus' feet. And the woman healed is praising God, and the girl is raised from the dead with her family rejoicing. Here in this chapter, Jesus faced death and sickness and the devil and conquered them all with ease. You might do what I have. I have written over this chapter 5, God is able. God is able. I want to drive those words home to you today. I want you to apply them to every area of life. Whatever God makes you think about, family, marriage, whatever it is, God is able. And we're told that Jesus has not changed. His power is the very same today. You can't show me any scripture where Jesus lost any of his omnipotence, any of his omniscience. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, you can't live in deep sin and laugh at God and turn around and say, I want a miracle. You got to be right with God. But I'm saying he's able. He's able. You have financial problems, he's able, okay? You see, your pastor, I dealt with hundreds of people when I was a pastor with financial problems, and he was able to just turn it around, okay? Family problems, physical problems, emotional problems. I don't care if Trump is president or Biden. He is able. Praise God. He is able. Now, I'm gonna turn to 2 Corinthians 9:8. You can listen. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Whoa! And I'm not just cherry-picking some verses. It's throughout the Bible, over and over again. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12 says, For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then if we go way back almost to Revelation in that little book of Jude 24, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. If there's a message that permeates the Bible, entire book of the Bible, it is our God is able. Now, what's the burden you have tonight? What is that worry that might engulf your mind, make you want to quit? It seems like the devil has his foot on your neck. He's able. I'm not just talking. Again, I am an old man. And I have, reminds some of you, I've been saved for 70 plus years. I've pastored over 50 years. I've dealt with thousands of people. And I tell you, he's able. Amen. He's able. His power is unlimited. His hand is not shortened. You bring any pain you have, he's able. Any pressure you have, he's able. Any sin, any worry, he's able if we have faith. Now, I want to take this maniac of the Gadarenes and show you from this passage. We could take the other two, but I get a kick out of this one, so we'll use this. God can overcome and control Satan. Oh, you say, I have no problem with that. Yes, you do. Satan's real. We live in a satanic, influenced, oppressed, and possessed nation. You cannot see what's happening in our country or the world apart from sin and Satan. I've just picked up a couple things. Our pastor alluded to that this morning. Incest. How could that be without Satan? It literally makes me sick at my stomach to think that a parent would do something like that. And I'm naive. I still am. I know I'm old and I've been around, but I'm naive. I couldn't comprehend that that would happen hardly at all. But I'll tell you, now that I am old and I've been in this world for a while, it's everywhere. Lives are destroyed. How could that happen without Satan? How could a father do something like that without Satan? And let's take sodomites. Now, Terry is my age, and he'll attest to this. Most of our lives, a sodomite was laughed at. They couldn't get into the military until very recently. They were queers. Okay? To almost everybody. That's why they were in the closet. Now listen to me. You say you're being mean. Listen to me. That's what it was for centuries. Today, a sodomite is more respected than a Christian. Think about it. How could that happen without Satan? Today in Canada, a preacher cannot get up and read the Bible verses against sodomy. He gets put in jail, and it's coming here real quick. How does that happen without Satan? What about abortions? What about abortions? You have the think of these ancient nations that the drums would beat and the fires would be there and they'd come and they'd throw their kids to their gods. See, how can that happen? Only Satan controlled. But we do that in America today, and it's the law. It's the law. You see, the point I'm making is that this world is demon-possessed. It's demon-controlled. And if you think you're kidding, I could tell you some stories that would curl your hair. Satan is real. Now, what was Legion's problem? Social workers would say hypertension. Family counselor would say he and his wife didn't get along. Behaviorists would say they were putting too many screws to him. He ought to be able to run naked if he wants to. Let me show you what Jesus said was wrong with Legion. In verse 8, I better get there myself. In verse 8 of chapter 5, it says, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Okay, what was wrong with him? An unclean spirit. You say, does that happen today? Everywhere. I've dealt with them. I've dealt with them. Now, this just came to my mind because I was just talking to somebody about this. I dealt with a mezzo-soprano with the highest voice you ever had, and I've had demons talk with her mouth. Rah! Demons are real. I have dealt with them. I won't go any further. I don't like to think about it because when you do, they really come after you. Look at verse 2. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit." He had an unclean spirit. And I'm saying America is filled with unclean spirits. It's not personalities. It's not circumstances. But people all over being controlled in the inner man by the devil. We're told that this man had a devil living in him. In fact, his name was Legion, which meant that he had multitudes of demons. It's Satan's conspiracy to control the world. But praise God, he can keep us. You say, you're afraid? No. He's able. Amen. Satan doesn't have to set housekeeping in our living room. He does in most, I'll guarantee you. He uses things like the television, the internet, and things like this. Sets up housekeeping. We don't have to run and hide. We don't have to compromise. This world is as rotten as ever, but we can have the joy of the Lord. A saint of God can have victory in any age, any century. We know 1 Corinthians 10:13. If there's any verse that we should know. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation. Now, I know you know this, but let it sink in. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common man. What does that mean? It means your pastor has the same temptation. It means I have the same temptation. Okay? There is no temptation taken you that's not common to man. But God, let me stop here. I'm not saying that your pastor has to deal with it all the time. I'm saying he's open to it. There's thousands of people, millions of people with the same temptation. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. He is faithful. Amen. He is able. 2 Peter, and again, you don't have to turn to these, but 2 Peter 2:9 says basically the same thing. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You hear that? You say, I'm just haunted by this. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And then back in Psalms, the book of Psalms 91, verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you live with God, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. You see what he's saying? It isn't just that you're a Christian and you live for the devil and then you say, God, I need this. It doesn't work that way. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You live for God. You come to church. You read the Bible. You pray. You're right with God. You don't have to worry about this. Now, if you're a Christian and you're backslidden and living for the world, you better worry about it. He's going to tear you up. He's going to tear your kids up. He's going to tear your family up. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Isn't that tremendous? He'll give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That is wonderful. Again, in the world we live in, and it is a wicked world, in the world we live in, these passages ought to be thrilling to us. He is able. But so many people, I can't talk to the preacher about my problem. Why not? Well, if you're honest, because you don't want to totally give up your problem. You better give it up. You better talk to him. He can't solve all your problems, but God can. He can lead you to the Bible. The Bible can. We're living in a demon-dominated world. If you can't see that by just picking up the newspaper and listening to the news and looking around you, look at Pocatello. Look, just look. Look at people walking down the street. He is able. One night, an elderly woman was coming home from a church service that was really a blessing. And she was singing that song, Under His Wings, I'm Safely Abiding. And a thief came up behind her and put a gun to her back and said, give me all your money. Give me your purse. And she turned around and says, you can't do anything to me. I'm under his wings. And he took off running. And we are. We are. You can rebuke the devil, is what I'm saying. He's able to overcome and control Satan in our day. Second, he's able to deliver us from this materialistic hoarding philosophy of our day. Now, I've lived through most of the 40s, all the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and first 20 years of this century. And I can say, I believe, a statement that was never any truer in history. Men will do anything for a buck. Anything for a buck. I read, and this is just one, it's just normal. A lady who forced her children to pose for child pornography, got rich, became the queen of smut, and set up a system with computers, garbage control. Oh, you say that's normal. Yeah, isn't that sad? You wonder what's happening in our country just the last year. You wonder, how do these politicians, what is happening to our country? It's like we're being sold to the Chinese. We're being sold to our enemies. We are. We are. You see, I'm a Republican. Mitch McConnell. Ever notice Mitch McConnell? He'll do pretty good things. Then all of a sudden, he does something really stupid, especially when it has to do with China. You ever wonder why? Many of you know why. His wife's family are multi-billionaires in the shipping business in Red China. He makes his decisions because of money. And that's nothing compared to Biden. Isn't it something? Again, maybe some of you don't listen to the news like I do. I'm kind of a junkie. But they've sold us out. His son, what's his name? Hunter. He sat on boards in China and sold us out to give influence to his father, his father's influence. Did you hear what he's doing today? He's selling art to the Chinese and others. He's selling art for half of $1 billion. A piece of art from Hunter. That's more than Picasso. How do you think he can sell that art for so much money? That's what's happening to our country. And the billionaires, the shoe people, they don't love America. My wife and I will talk, how can they do it? They're billionaires already, and they'll sell us out to sell tennis shoes. Love of money. Love of money. Silicon Valley, they'll cut the president off from telling the truth and allow the Taliban to tell lies. Allow the Red Chinese to tell lies. Set up systems so the Red, I'm talking about Google and these people, set up systems to be able to pick up Christians in China and put them in jail. The love of money. You say, you're getting off point. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And Christians are sometimes, many times, caught up in it. They call it the blessings of God, but it's greed. Don't get caught up in the materialistic, money-hungry world. He is able. Turn back to our text in Mark 5, but I want you to look at verse 14. Mark 5, verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and said unto him, now listen to this, said to see him that was possessed by the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. That's human nature today. If you remember, Jesus cast the demons into the swine. The swine ran down a cliff and drowned. And you would think that these people would be praising God. They wouldn't have to look at this guy running around naked. You'd think they'd be praising God. He wouldn't be making all noise. There he is, clothing his right mind. But what was their reaction? There goes our dough. There goes our money. Get out of here. They'd rather be in the hog business than the soul-saving business, the Bible business, the church business. And that is the world we live in today. They'd rather be in the sin business. They'd rather be in the cheating business. They'd rather be in any business than the church business, God's business. And I'll tell you, you're saying the same thing if you put anything before him as a Christian. Don't get caught up in this hoarding. Don't let your job be your hog. You say, what are you getting at? You got to work it overtime and you let your kids go to the devil. That's what I'm getting at. Don't let your house become your hog. Now, I'm not against having a house. In fact, let me tell you something. It's the only way Sharon and I eat. It's a simple thing. When I retired at 73, we finally paid off our house after 40 years. Now, if I had any more sense, we would have paid it off before that. But we have been living, we get a very small Social Security check, and we live on selling our house. And what I'm getting at is, if you see us sell the house we have now, it means we ran out of money, and we sell the house, and we get a bunch of money. Okay, and we buy another house, a smaller house. I'm not against having a house. You understand the point I'm making? I'm not against using your common sense. But I'm saying don't let it become your hog. Bigger, better, more. Don't let that happen. You'll ruin your life. You'll ruin your family. When I see people putting money and security first, I have to ask, is it worth it? Is it worth it to lose your kids? Is it worth it for your family to be cold? Is it worth it to lose your relationship with God? Money's not worth it. He's able to deliver us from Satan, and he's the only one able to deliver us from this selfishness, this money, money, money. Let me tell you something. Your kids are more important than money. Your kids are more important than things. Quickly, and I do mean quickly, he's able to deliver us from that I have arrived attitude. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now, I'm not stretching it. Legion just was miraculously healed, and he wants to just fellowship. He wants that good Bible teaching and preaching, but that's all he wants to do. Jesus had other plans. Now, I want to say something. I really like the adult Sunday school class. I said before, I've been saved for 70 years, you never stop learning. I like our Sunday school class. I like the preaching. I like our church. You understand? I'm not saying we shouldn't want this. And I want to say something else. Fellowship is one of the perks of being saved. Where do you find better Christians than right here? Better friends, I should say, than right here. Right here. So I'm not belittling the idea that we should enjoy our friends and that we should have fellowship and we should enjoy Sunday school and church and so forth. But look what Jesus said in verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I won't go into it, but I'm told history tells us there was a great revival there. And he probably was the one that started it. Now, what am I saying? Enjoy fellowship. Enjoy Mike's stories, okay? Enjoy fellowship. Enjoy eating together. We do a lot of that. Enjoy learning. But we're not to come to church. There's so many that think we come to church and I have can check it off. I'm a good Christian. I came to church. What do you come to church for? You come to church to be challenged. You come to church to be challenged to read your Bible at home. You come to church to be challenged to tell people about Jesus. Now, this week is one of the two most important weeks of the year. We have a big day coming up in 1 week from today. And everybody's going to be praying, right? You're going to be praying. I'm going to be praying. We're going to be praying every day. Lord, fill the pastor or the preacher, the evangelist. And by the way, he's 82 years old. Brother, 81, a youngster. 81 years old. But you'd never believe it. He makes me shameful. He puts me to shame, his energy. He's what you call an old-fashioned. I don't know a more old-fashioned revivalist than him. You will enjoy him. You'll like him. But he's been praying. I've been praying. The preacher's been praying. I think we all have been praying. We're going to be praying what? That he's filled with God's power and that souls are saved. Okay? There's 2 weeks out of the year we do that. We're praying and praying and praying. I've seen so many saved that way. You pray and pray and pray. You know what it is? People are down there and they barely can't get out. They can't argue. They just have to take it. And hopefully we'll see souls saved. But souls aren't saved if they aren't here. That's why we need to be hanging those things on the door by the hundreds this week, by the hundreds this week. That's why you want to make a list. Who can I invite? What relatives do I have? What people that I work with? Who can I invite? And you pray about them and don't put it off. Listen, back to what we started, and I'm basically through. In Hebrews 7:25, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to save them. He ever liveth, he's alive today. The same one that healed the lady, the same one that raised the dead, the same one that transformed Legion, the same one ever liveth and is able. Our problem is we have to give in to him. Stop saying, well, I want both. Give in to him. He's able, ever liveth. He's on the throne today. Why don't you bow? Why don't you say, God, you are my God. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do what I can. Now, sometime I've worked, had big, long lists, and nobody came. Everybody said, I'm coming, and nobody came. That happens. Don't worry. But just do your best. If you would just, when we pray, not out loud, say, God, I'm going to do my best. Make a decision. I'm going to do my best. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, our Heavenly Father. Lord, please use the message. We thank you for a good church, Lord. I don't think hardly anybody in this room knows how rare it is to have a church like this today. And we thank you for it. We thank you for a day that we can invite people out to. And I pray that we would do our best praying and working, working and praying. Bless this invitation. I pray decisions, honest decisions would be made. In your name we pray. Amen.